Well, good morning, everybody. Let's turn to the scriptures and read this passage from John's Gospel. And it's John chapter 12, and starting to read at verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." It's quite a good thing. Quite a good request, isn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you've come to this meeting like that? "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Not the guy at the front, not the people around, but Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now, my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. And then verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Amen. And the Lord will bless his precious word to our hearts. Let's pray. blessed Holy Spirit of God, who caused these scriptures to be written, we ask now that you will cause them to so burn in our hearts that something of the glory of the one who spoke them may be reflected from our lives, and that we may come into a fresh appreciation of who he is. In his precious name, Lord Jesus, amen. I want to just read a few verses from right from the beginning of Paul's letter to the Romans. This might surprise you. This is Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Marked out, he says, or declared with power to be the Son of God. There are three instances in the life of the Lord Jesus where there was a voice from heaven. I'm sure you remember them. What was the first one? At his baptism. At his baptism, when you remember when Jesus went into the waters of baptism with John the Baptist, and the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son." Next one.
Transfiguration.
See, we have got some Bible scholars here. Isn't that good? At the Transfiguration, when you remember the Lord Jesus took Peter, James and John up the mountain, and suddenly he became different. As he was praying, his appearance became different, and his clothes became bright and shining. And then you remember there was two men appeared with him, who were Moses and Elijah, appeared, and they were talking with him. And what were they talking about? They were talking about his departure. They were talking about his death. It said which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. It was about to happen. The death of the Lord Jesus was no accident. It wasn't just something that accidentally happened. It was the very center of God's plan for the redemption, for the buying back of this whole world, for the fact that you and I can today freely come to worship God and know that our sins can be forgiven if we put our trust in the Saviour. Because what he has done has so pleased God and completely borne the punishment and the penalty that was due to us because of our sins. It's amazing, you know, what the Lord has done. It is absolutely wonderful. And, you know, we need to grab hold of it afresh. And that's why we've remembered him in this special way that he instructed us to do. Remembered him in his death, but remembered also that he has triumphed over death. We don't worship a dead Christ, but someone who's alive and who the promise is that we'll meet him face to face. Because what is the real hope of the church? What is the purpose of all those who come to put their faith in Jesus? The massive purpose you find right at the end of the scriptures. Because you, if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are part of something much bigger. Part of something very, very precious to God. What is often known as the bride of Christ. Just as a bride especially gets ready for her husband for that great day. So the Lord Jesus is preparing people's hearts to get ready for that great day. When all who love the Saviour and who are redeemed by his precious blood will be caught up together to be with him. And surely, if I don't think there are any many young ladies here who are about to be married. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But, looking forward. And you want to know something about your future husband if you're going to be married, don't you? Think back, many of you. God the Holy Spirit is preparing the bride. So that right at the end of the Bible, you get the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the climax for the church. It's what our glorious hope is. And it's part of my work to direct your gaze, to direct my gaze on the Saviour himself this morning. So that we can learn of him. So that we can be made more ready for that day. Because there's a lot of, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of work to go on in my heart, and probably yours as well, to be ready for that day. And it could happen any time. We might not finish this meeting. You know, the promise is that those who trust in Jesus will be caught up to be with him. Those who've died believing in him, he says, will be raised and changed, and will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And these things are in the scriptures, and they're real. And we need to realize that, and it to grip our souls and affect our lives, because our lives need to be affected. We need to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. That we might not get entangled or dragged away by the things of the world. Because we have an enemy who desperately wants to dishonour Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit, you might say, desperately wants to honour Christ. Not desperate, but that's what he does. And he wants to do it in your life and mine. So, where did we get to? Sorry, I got off the track a little bit. But it's the one track. Yeah, so marked out to be the Son of God with power. That's what Paul says at the beginning of Romans. And so we've had that happened at his baptism. That happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yes, we didn't quite finish that, did we? That's right. So there they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And the three disciples, and Peter, overawed and not quite knowing what to say, said, "Well, look," he wanted to prolong what was happening. You know, it's funny, we get touches of eternity during life, you know, and we would like to prolong them, wouldn't we? You know, I mean, just think of the amazing experience. Peter, as an old man, could talk about it. This voice we heard, uttered from the most excellent glory when we were with him on the holy mountain. And that was, you know, years and years later he wrote that. But he said, what he actually said was, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for you, Lord Jesus, one for Moses and one for Elijah. It says, not really knowing what he said. He was sort of, you know, often, I don't know about you, but when I'm embarrassed, I speak sort of perhaps more words than I should say. It was a bit like Peter at that time. And suddenly there was a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud
cloud, "This is my son who I love. This is my son who I love." You see, he was marked out by the voice from heaven. This is the second time. "This is my son whom I love." And when the cloud moved, they saw Jesus only. They saw Jesus only. You see, it's easy for us to get our eyes on the wrong things, even if they're good things like Moses and Elijah. They weren't to be compared with Jesus. Yes, they were pointing towards him. Everything that Moses has said, you remember, the Lord will raise up a prophet like me, but not like me. The Lord Jesus was so much greater. Why? Because he was one with God himself. Moses was like no other man. God said to him, "I speak with him face to face." But the Lord Jesus is the Son. He's the Son. He's been one with God forever. And yet, he became man. Became one of us. One that we could touch. One that we could handle. One that we could tell that he's one of us. He's a man. And yet, he never ceased to be one with God. And so when we come to his death, because this is leading up to his death, you get this almost impossible situation. Charles Wesley put it in one of his hymns like this: "The immortal dies. How can the immortal die? God can't die because the universe would cease to exist." And yet, Jesus became man, and as man, he died. It was as man, he went into death. And this was the kind of the struggle. Why? Because, you see, here, these Greeks want to see Jesus, and this is an amazing request. They've heard that this man who is a Jew is so different to any other Jew. And they know that the blessing is there. They've seen, they've heard some of the things that he's done. And they want to see him. But what does it mean for the gospel to go out? And you know, it's interesting that in that passage at the beginning of Romans, I just noticed when we read it that he says, "Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles." And that was what Paul was sent to do to the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews. And here we have some non-Jews, some Greeks, coming and wanting to see Jesus. And what does it mean? The Lord Jesus knows exactly what it means. It means that he must go into death. He must, for Gentiles to see his glory, to see who he is, he's got to die. And for Jews as well, but this seems to reinforce the fact that in order to bear the sins of the whole world, the Lord Jesus has got to go this way. And the depth of it is incredible. And if he just lived a perfect life and honoured God in all that he did, it says he would just like remain a single seed. But the seed has to go into the ground, die, decay. But out of it comes the new life. Comes the amazing truth of resurrection is that out of death comes even more. There's the first fruits, and then there's what follows. And that's the amazing thing that the Lord Jesus has done may be for you. He's certainly done it for me by God's grace. Implanted by the Holy Spirit, that new life in me. But first, I have to die with Christ. Ooh, you say, that doesn't sound so good. No, and sometimes we miss this part out from the gospel because it seems too difficult. But friends, listen to what Jesus himself says here. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What does that mean? It seems like a hard saying, doesn't it? You don't want to go through life hating life, do you? It didn't seem that the Lord Jesus meant that. But you know what? There is a side that in my natural strength I can't please God. Because of sin and because of the effect that it has on me, in my natural strength, I can't please God. You know, and sometimes we try to refine the flesh, our natural human nature, and make it acceptable to God. And God's finished with that. He says, don't go down that road. You'll end up disappointed. The answer to the flesh is crucifixion. Reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then, you know, there starts to be evidence. I trust that there is evidence in my life that it's not the old Peter Wells. It's the new life that's springing up, that's not of myself, but is of Christ. And that is what God wants for each one of us. That's the wonder of this passage. And honouring God when... You see, the Lord Jesus always honoured God in everything he did. And that's what's so wonderful. And that's why we can look to him with absolute... worship. Yeah. It's wrong to worship people. And we need to be careful because we respect people and honour them, and they're sometimes to be honoured. But we're never to worship people. Worship is due to God, and that's the outpouring of your soul to God. And you can do that to the Lord Jesus absolutely without fear, because he's one with God. And that's the wonder. So don't be afraid to let yourself go in the presence of God. To let your affections be drawn out to the Saviour like they wouldn't be to anybody else. So, he says, my Father will honour the one who serves me. And now is my heart troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then listen to what happens next. Then a voice came from heaven. I've glorified it and will glorify it again. This is the third time, I think, of the voice from heaven. And it's the Father saying he has both glorified the Lord Jesus and will do it again. And how will the Lord Jesus be glorified again, looking at it from this time? We'll come back to that in a moment, but listen to the effect round about. Now that the Jews had longed for a sign, they'd wanted a sign. They said, you know, if only there was a voice from heaven, then, you know, we'd all believe it. And look what happened. The crowd heard it. And they said it had thundered. It was just a sort of a rumbling. Or others, a bit more discerning, said an angel had spoken to him. But there wasn't generally a discernment of what had happened. even though this was perhaps the sign that they'd asked for. A voice from heaven. Friends, how much we need discernment to actually see what God is doing. Sometimes, you know, we can see things happening and you get, and this is particularly what's happening in the world at the moment, you get people looking at it from different viewpoints and coming to completely opposite conclusions. And you think, well, this is confusing. This is, and it is, it's very confusing what's happening in the world at the moment, it is to me. But we need discernment. Just as they needed discernment to hear this voice. Because clearly there were some, well, John records it. And he records it rightly. Of course, we know that's the Holy Spirit's power. He says, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. You know, when Jesus had risen from the dead, you remember, and he went to the disciples when they were fishing, and he had special words with Peter, you remember. One of the things that he said to Peter was regarding Peter's death. When he was an old man, he'd be led somewhere where he didn't really want to go. And John makes this comment. He says, he said this, showing by what means Peter would glorify God in his death. Have you ever thought about that? Glorifying God in death? Because that's what supremely happened in the death of the Lord Jesus. Because here you've got the voice from heaven. At his baptism, you've got a voice from heaven. At the Mount of Transfiguration, you've got a voice from heaven. But then you've got Calvary. And you've got that agonized cry of the Lord Jesus himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you've got the darkness and you've got silence from heaven. And you wouldn't have thought, if you were standing by looking, that there was any glory to God in what was happening, would you? You would have thought, this is darkness, this is the enemy triumphing, this is, you might have thought, this is awful, this is injustice, and all those things would be true. And no answer from heaven. No voice from heaven. But this is to the glory of God. How can it be? How can it be that such an awful time could be to the glory of God? Friends, the bearing of sin, the becoming a sacrifice for sin, which God required, could only be done by the man who is God, by the one who is equal to God, by the one who is prepared to lay down his life that he might take it again. This is our Saviour. This is our King. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the one whose death we've just celebrated. This is the one who rose that first Easter, who has ascended up on high, and who's coming again very shortly. Do you know him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We praise and exalt your great name. Thank you that you've exalted the Lord Jesus to your right hand. Thank you that he was raised from the dead by your glorious power. Thank you that he's coming again at your appointed time. Father, we worship you. We praise your great and holy name. Just pray that your powerful word may touch our souls afresh this morning. Oh, Lord Jesus, we long for you. Please, please draw us close to you. And Lord, if Is there anyone here who really wants to come to you for the first time? May they not delay. Blessed Saviour, your time is the right time. And we trust in you. And we give you thanks and praise as we just continue before you in Jesus' name. Amen.